This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
I will govern by a simple motto: promises made, promises kept. We're going to keep our promises.
President-elect Donald Trump telling supporters what his guiding principle would be in office. Details coming up also. In Mozambique, tensions remain high after a day of violence in the capital. And Nigeria's major cities have suffered blackouts as the country's electricity grid collapsed for the 10th time this year. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. But first, our top story. Donald Trump's agenda calls for him to deliver on key campaign talking points: border security, strengthening the economy, putting America first. While his promises are bold, details on how they will be carried out are few. Tina Trent reports. God bless the USA.
It is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy?
As it became evident on election night that Donald Trump would once again become U.S. president, he gave a victory speech in which he reiterated his agenda for the next 4 years. Border security remains a top priority. Trump has said that he will launch the largest deportation program of criminals in American history and has called for the death penalty for any migrant who kills an American citizen or law enforcement officer. The tough talk was less evident on election night.
We're going to have to seal up those borders, and we're going to have to let people come into our country. We want people to come back in, but we have to let them come back in, but they have to come in legally. They have to come in legally.
Vice President-elect J.D. Vance touched on another key agenda item.
And after the greatest political comeback in American history, we're going to lead the greatest economic comeback in American history.
We're going to be paying down debt. We're going to be reducing taxes.
It's less clear how the new administration will accomplish its economic goals without adding to an already growing deficit. But Trump's speech mentioned a person who might help: tech mogul Elon Musk, who Trump has said would lead a government efficiency commission to reduce fiscal waste and fraud. Trump commented on Musk's recent Starship rocket launch.
And it was a beautiful thing to see. And I called Elon. I said, Elon, was that you? He said, yes, it was. I said, who else can do that? Can Russia do it? No. Can China do it? No. Can the United States do it other than you? No. Nobody can do that. I said, that's why I love you, Elon.
Experts say Trump's praise of Musk is about projecting strength and might on the global stage. Stephanie Ellis Baker is a reader in sociology at the City University of London.
This idea about, are we the only country that can do this? Oh, yes, we're the only country that can do this. And I think Trump is able to use this image of Musk as not only a tech entrepreneur, but a visionary, a genius, to support this idea that he's moving forward, not as an individual, but as a nation.
In his speech, Trump told supporters what his guiding principle would be in office.
I will govern by a simple motto: promises made, promises kept. We're going to keep our promises.
One of those promises would be what he calls the coming golden age of America. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
During Donald Trump's first stint as U.S. president, the country withdrew from a 2015 agreement that saw Iran scale back its nuclear program in exchange for a lifting of international sanctions against its economy. Some foreign policy experts say there are hawkish voices who may try to pressure the new Trump administration to take an even more extreme approach against Iran. Trump promised also during his campaign to get tough with China. Ambassador David Mack, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for the Near East, discussed with VOA senior analyst Mohammed Al-Shenawi possible Trump foreign policy scenarios.
I'm afraid I expect to see in continuing frictions with Iran, even though I'm convinced that the military establishment in the United States very much opposes the idea of a conflict between the United States and Iran, I think that Trump is going to push things right up to the border, because I think he believes that he can scare the Iranians into backing down. And I see no likelihood that he will re-enter the nuclear agreement, which he ended after he became president in 2017. So I would expect to see a continuing amount of friction between the United States and Iran. I'm afraid that this is likely, even though our many Arab governments friendly to us, like Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and Qatar, have resumed some close relations with Iran to protect their own security.
How could Trump reshape U.S. foreign policy toward China?
This will be one of the first issues that arises. For domestic reasons that Trump misunderstands, he has already threatened massive, very high tariffs toward Chinese imports into the United States. I say every economist that has credibility says that it's the U.S. consumers who are going to be paying the price for this in terms of higher prices on goods imported from China. China won't suffer. Now, that could be different if Trump also puts very high tariffs on China's competitors like Japan, India, South Korea. But those countries are going to move in and take advantage of these very high tariffs on Chinese imports in order to increase the level of their imports into the United States if they have much lower tariffs than China does. I could even see Taiwan benefiting by more imports into the United States of high technology, including microchips and things like that.
But would he use military force to prevent China's blockade of Taiwan?
I think he would be ready to do that. Yes, I do. And if you look at this, considering the range of allies we have out there, ranging from India to Japan and including Australia and the Philippines and even Vietnam, as well as South Korea, we have got a fairly massive military advantage over China. And I think the only way China could make a deal with us would be if they were to completely stop their support of Russia in its war against Ukraine. And I don't think that's going to be likely.
That was Ambassador David Maka, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for the Near East, speaking with VOA's Mohammed Al-Shinawi. Allies in Europe are debating what Donald Trump's win in the U.S. presidential election could mean for their security and economies. Trump's first term in office was characterized by often turbulent relations with EU and NATO partners. As Henry Ridgewell reports, Russia's invasion of Ukraine has amplified Europe's concerns over the transatlantic alliance.
Around 50 leaders met in Budapest Thursday for a summit of the European political community set up in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. French President Emmanuel Macron said Europe must stand up for itself as it prepares for the next Trump presidency in the United States.
He is going to defend the interests of the American people, and that is legitimate and a good thing. The question is, are we ready to defend the interests of Europeans?
The NATO alliance remains the bedrock of Europe's security amid Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Ed Arnold is an analyst with Britain's Royal United Services Institute.
The first implication for the alliance is how to continue support for Ukraine if there's an expected drawdown of military assistance from the US.
Could Europe make up that shortfall? Ian Bond of the Centre for European Reform.
Yes, but it would take a lot more effort than Europe is making now.
On the campaign trail, Trump said he would end the Russia-Ukraine war on day one, though he didn't say how. Analysts say Ukraine fears being forced into an unfavourable peace deal. Again, analyst Ed Arnold.
actually, there might be a bit of a worry where there's some within Europe to say, well, why would we ramp up aid now if there's going to be a negotiated settlement fairly soon?
Former US government officials say Trump considered pulling the country out of NATO altogether in his first term. Jonathan Monten, US foreign policy analyst at University College London.
I think he likes the idea that he's keeping foreign allies as well as adversaries guessing as to his ultimate intentions. I think he sees that as a source of leverage, as a source of power.
But NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, also attending the Budapest summit, praised Trump for getting allies to spend more on defense.
When he was president, he was the one in NATO who stimulated us to move over the 2%.
US allies could also face economic turbulence when Trump enters the White House. Garrett Martin of American University in Washington.
The declarations or the claims of putting in about 60% or more tariffs on all imports from China will have to have a major disruptive impact on world trade. And there will be repercussions on the EU, on Europe, on the UK and elsewhere. And that we can expect also tariffs on imports from the EU as well.
Add it all up, and in Europe there is nervousness over what a second Donald Trump presidency will bring. Analysts say the unpredictability means there is little its leaders can do to prepare. Henry Ridgewell, VOA News.
Hulda Hetzler has made history in the Midwestern U.S. state of Minnesota, becoming the only person born in Kenya to win election to the State House of Representatives. Hetzler, who is a member of the Democratic Farmer Labor Party, will represent the constituency northwest of the main city of Minneapolis. Her family came to the United States when she was a child. My colleague, Abdushakur Abud, with VOA Swahili Service, interviewed her yesterday. Here's part of their conversation.
I am super excited. Today is orientation day for new legislators. And so to be able to be standing in this capital as an African immigrant woman, it is a tremendous honor. And I'm over excited right now.
You have had all this period of excitement. You have become a media frenzy person. How do you explain that?
It's that resilience. I don't know about the whole media frenzy. I will let those people do what they do. But I have to say this moment couldn't have come if it wasn't for the fact of, you know, just being resilient, being consistent, and having a really strong team behind me who believed in my vision for this community, for this state, to be able to give me that opportunity to stand here as the elected representative-elect, Hulda Hetzler.
But I still want to see the media. How is the media playing as a role? What do you think of yourself in Kenya? Everybody's talking about you. How did that happen?
You know, I've been so busy doing interview after interview. I haven't really paid attention into what's going on. I'm just hearing things. But I'm hearing that there's a lot of celebrations, especially in Nyamemiso, where my family comes from. And to be honest, it's humbling, you know, because I still think that I'm that little girl from that little village somewhere in the middle of Kenya, and now I'm in the spotlight of this media frenzy. And so I'm still trying to really appreciate the magnitude of the moment.
So coming back to how you reached here, tell me a bit about it. How did you come to this way? Did you have an idea from when you came to the United States, or what happened? How did you get here?
So getting to this moment, honestly, is just a testament of the struggles that my family has gone through to be in this country, fight the immigration system, being very close to being deported, and having, you know, a politician, a senator, who was a senator of the people, Paul Wellstone, you know, fighting for our family's case. And finally us winning our green cards and then getting our citizenship. And then now here, 22 years later, running for political office. So it's definitely a testament of the commitment and the sacrifices that a lot of people have made for me to be here.
We can say now you're going to become a role model for the young generation, for the young girls in Kenya or here in America. What do you have to say? What do you think about that?
It is still surreal, right? But my hope and my belief that if I can make it to this point, if I can be, you know, a role model, as you say, to somebody, to remind them that it is possible, that, you know, our wildest dreams are possible, then that would be something that I would look back and say, wow, I've made a difference in somebody's life.
That was Huldah Hetzley, an immigrant from Kenya, who this week was elected to the Minnesota State Legislature. She spoke with VOA's Abdushakur Aboud. You're listening to African News Tonight on The Voice of America. Find us on voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. You can share your thoughts about the news and our programs by WhatsApp. The number is +1 202 258 3076. Every Wednesdays, we'll be sharing our listeners' comments on African News Tonight. In Mozambique, tensions remain high after a day of violence in the capital, Maputo, where reports say three people died and dozens were injured in clashes with police. Anger has mounted since election authorities announced a month ago that President Filipe Nyusi's Frelimo party has won an election, extending its nearly 50-year rule. Darren Taylor reports.
The streets of Maputo bear the scars of one of the biggest anti-government protests yet. On Friday, smoke hung over the city from burning tires, with roads barricaded by rubble. On Thursday, police shot at crowds with rubber bullets, and protesters responded by throwing stones and bottles. The demonstrators accused the ruling party, Frelimo, of rigging the October 9th election, an allegation supported by some local organizations. European Union observers have reported irregularities in vote counting and unjustified alteration of election results. Frelimo denies the allegations. Sidia Chisungo of Amnesty International in Maputo says independent candidate Venancio Mondlane received a lot of support from the youth. She says many citizens think he won the vote and not the Frelimo candidate Daniel Chapo.
There is huge fear that the situation will only escalate as people have the impression that the government is not listening to their concerns. At this moment, there are many different layers of what is really leading people to the streets.
Mondlane has encouraged the demonstrations since the election. Chisungo says the police response to what she describes as peaceful protests is contributing to the violence. On October 18th, she says, security forces fired on demonstrators, killing up to 20 people.
Since that time, everything has escalated, and right now we are observing that protesters are also retaliating, and we have seen the same situations not only in Maputo, but all over the country, where police stations have also been targeted moments after, for example, a police officer shot a protester. So right now, the tensions are very high. Children are still expected to go to schools. Yesterday, one of the children around Magwanini in Maputo was killed. That's why, as Amnesty, we keep calling on authorities to stop the crackdown on protesters.
The Southern African Development Community, SADC, says it will meet soon to discuss the Mozambique situation. SADC official Kula Teletsane says the bloc's leaders are confident of solving the crisis.
Within SADC, we have what we call the panel of elders that is mostly comprised of former heads of states. You will have your mediation reference group, and that is the team that you would want to send to Mozambique to engage, and not only the government of Mozambique, but also to engage the opposition parties and all other stakeholders to find an amicable solution.
But many Mozambicans don't trust SADC, saying the organization in the past has done little to ensure free and fair polls in Mozambique and elsewhere. Teletsane acknowledges SADC's powers are limited.
And of course, countries are sovereign. Once you give them their recommendations, you give them a report, you have no mechanism to enforce that. But it's a recommendation that the country will, out of their own will, implement or not implement. Yes, I understand people are losing confidence in SADC, but I think from SADC's side, we are doing our job, we are observing, we are giving the report, we are giving recommendations that will ultimately improve elections in the future and good governance at the end of the day.
Soon, he says, SADC will release a final report evaluating the election, highlighting any irregularities that may have occurred and making recommendations. The Mozambique crisis is affecting the region. Several countries, including South Africa and Zimbabwe, rely on Mozambican ports to export products to China. Concerned that the violence will spill over, South African authorities have shut the main border post into Mozambique, meaning there's no road transport to the harbors. South African mining industry officials say they've lost millions of dollars because they're unable to send minerals eastward. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Amsterdam's police said Friday that 5 people were hospitalized and 62 arrested after what authorities described as systematic violence by anti-Semitic rioters targeting Israeli fans following a soccer match. The Dutch and Israeli leaders denounced the violence and condemnation poured in from Jewish groups. Security concerns have shrouded matches with Israel teams in multiple countries over the past year because of the global tensions linked to the wars in the Middle East. So, as we move to our sports program, I have our VOA sports analyst, Mokbil Yabaro, in studio. Thanks for being here, Mokbil.
Thanks for having me, Hayes.
So, this week has been filled with Europe's top club teams playing across multiple leagues. Can you give us a few standout games?
Absolutely, Hayes. So, we're going to start off with the Champions League. Liverpool beating Leverkusen 4-0. They cruised, man. That was a very, very easy win for Liverpool. They are at the top of the Champions League as well as the top of the Premier League. Quick shout out to our producer, David Vandy.
Yeah, he's cruising too.
His team is cruising, absolutely. Then we have Real Madrid versus AC Milan. Milan wins 3-1. This is two huge defeats that have come at the hands of some big competition for Real Madrid. They also lost 4-0 to Barcelona a couple weeks back, so they're trying to figure it all out, as well as Man City versus Sporting Lisbon. Sporting Lisbon hits Man City 4-1. Man City's also on this dry spell as well, have not been able to win in the last three games. And my team, unfortunately, Arsenal, also went down against Inter Milan 1-0. And that's pretty much it for the Champions League. If we're going to touch on the Europa League quickly, as you just mentioned earlier, PSV just beat Maccabi Tel Aviv, the Israeli side, 5-0. That may or may not have something to do with, you know, how fans were feeling about such a defeat. And then Lazio beat Porto 2-1, as well as Galatasaray. Nigerian striker Victor Osimhen makes his way over to Turkey, and he is balling 2 goals against Tottenham Hotspurs. Will he make his way over to the Premier League after his spill with Galatasaray? We shall see.
And Mokbil, the NBA is back and is now a few weeks into the new season. What teams currently look the best?
Yes, Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't think anybody has heard of the Cavs since LeBron left them some years ago. They are 9-0. They have won 9 games, their first 9 games. They have not lost yet. They are at the top of the Eastern Conference. The Boston Celtics are 7-2 in second place. Outside of that, all other teams are only 500 or less, so they have not won any more games than 4 games. So the East is kind of on cruise control for the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics. And on the Western Conference, we have the Phoenix Suns that are 7-1, as well as the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Golden State Warriors. 3 teams are tied for the 7-1 spot, followed by the Houston Rockets with 5-3. That seems like they're leading it.
And with that, we have to wrap up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhibi in Washington. On behalf of our producer, David Vandy, and our engineer, Justin Twait, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.